What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, we want to welcome all of our spring sites in Selkirk and Steinbach, Calgary, Inner City, and the Springs family around the world, because more and more people are saying they're a part of Springs in countries all over the place. So, welcome. I often am in awe of how humanistic so many Christians are getting today. I get tired of it. It ticks me off. As you talk with Christians who they have literally given their lives to Christ, but do not know the new creation realities. They don't understand faith. They've tried it, but it's nowhere near what God has provided. And so today I want to talk about something. Please pay attention, because if you get this, your entire world will change. If you don't, what you don't know will kill you. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Mom and I were talking about a dog we had when I was a kid named Buffy. It was a white Samoyed husky, and it would always kind of hide itself. It would run into the front room and stick its head under the couch. And it was sure that because she couldn't see us, we couldn't see her. And today there are a lot of ostrich Christians who they don't want to know more of the Word, because they think if they know more, they're responsible for more. And so they just don't want to know. They want prayer. They want miracles. They want the flow of God in their lives, all the beautiful things promised. But they don't spend any time to learn, to grow. And the Bible says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4 to 7 very clearly says, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. And that word carnally minded, it means the five senses. You're living by your five senses. You got this humanistic look at everything that goes on. Well, there's a reason for everything, and you totally negate the fact there's a spirit world. You have an enemy that he is out there trying to deceive you as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. There is no demilitarized zone, and everywhere you go and everything you try to do, he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy you, and you are trying to do what Jesus says, which Jesus is here to give us life and more abundantly. The faith life has been relegated to, well, let's confess it. I mean, it's not the truth, but let's say, for example, I'm healed when I'm not, and if I say it enough, God will do it. That's not faith. That's ridiculousness. And yet so many people have tried this faith life, and they just don't understand it. They haven't spent any time in the Word. And then when they can't live and walk by faith, they go back to living and walking by their five senses. And if every decision you make in life is going to be determined by what you see, taste, smell, hear, etc., then you, the Bible says, are going to be walking out this continuum of death, meaning you're never going to be able to access the stunning, phenomenal, incredible, beyond imagination world that's been prepared for you. In 2 Kings chapter 6 is a very interesting story. Elisha the prophet is a true story. The Syrians would come and they would plan an attack on Israel. And as the Syrian king would meet with his generals and which valley to come in and how to attack and the way to do it, Elisha would know. And he would let the king of Israel know. He would let him know that, hey, the king of Syria is bringing his troops down this valley, this area, and the Israel would go and defeat them, push them back, destroy them. This happened again and again and again. To find the king of Syria calls his people together and says, we got a spy in the middle of this. And they said, oh, king, the prophet Elisha, he knows which you talk about in your bedchamber. What? This man knows every tactic. This man knows every valley, everywhere you're going, and he just tells the king. Battle strategies are now changed. we're going to go surround the prophet of God called Elisha. Forget taking on the king. We first take on the prophet. And so in Dothan, where he was in this town, they wake up one morning, and around the entire town is an army so large that Elisha's servant goes, "Oh no, Elisha, look, what in the world?" And Elisha says, "Don't worry. Who is with us is more than who is against us." What a crazy statement. It's a town, and an entire national army has surrounded it. It's Elisha and a servant against an entire warring army, a nation. And Elisha says, "Don't worry about it. Who's with us is more than who's against us." The servant wasn't convinced. So Elisha says, "Open his eyes, God." Wham! His eyes get open to a realm that is unseen, but it's a real realm. It's just an unseen realm. And the second his eyes open, it says that literally the skies were filled. All around them were filled with chariots and horses and chariots of fire. Now let me ask you a question. Just because Elisha couldn't see them with his five senses, he couldn't see them, he couldn't hear them, he couldn't smell them, and because of that, we automatically think, well, he's just telling a lie. He's just trying to prop up this poor servant of his, this employee of his, to just be encouraged. No, Elisha was declaring a reality that couldn't be seen in the physical world. He was declaring something that his servant couldn't see or sense or feel or touch. And I want you to notice that when Elisha's servant's eyes were opened and he saw, it doesn't say that Elisha's eyes were opened. He didn't need them opened because he knew by a sixth sense. You see, there are five senses in the physical world where we get all of our sciences from, and they do not answer all questions, but there is a sixth sense. And this sixth sense is faith. It is when you know something and you declare something that is truth. It's not a lie that if you say it long enough, God's going to do it for you. Those angels and chariots of fire and horsemen didn't just all of a sudden appear because the guy had to see them. They were there the whole time. And I've got news for you. If you're a Christian, you're not supposed to be like the rest of the world. You are supposed to have supernatural help. There's supposed to be supernatural assistance from a supernatural army. And there are supernatural promises. There is the King of Kings on the inside of you and I. And we're supposed to be living by faith, which means super abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Why are we going to give in and live like the world? I'm getting a little tired of the people who are fearful of COVID-19 or whatever the TV just wants to fearmonger. Listen, that's not the biggest killer on the planet. It's way down the list of what people are being killed by. But if you can blast it out the news and blast it on TV and make up stuff and make it worse and exaggerate it, you can make something that is nowhere near the biggest killer in our society become the new prince of terror, the thing that controls the world and shuts down economies. As believers, it doesn't change the word of God that says no deadly thing shall hurt me. So get back in the word of God. Yes, use wisdom. Let's work with our governments and our health, but let's use wisdom and not be afraid of something. Living by this force or by this thing called faith is what believers are supposed to do. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're not called a doubter. You're called a believer. And so we've got to understand that when we begin to declare something that is not in the seen world, it doesn't mean it's a lie because it is in the unseen world. We live in a world today where everybody here believes in the unseen. Let me give you an example. Right now, your car is not hooked up to my microphone. But I'm speaking, and we've got this, we got these studios all set up in here, and there's no wires on my microphone, and it's blasting over there to those equipment, and that equipment is shooting it out of an FM signal, and it's coming into your car, and none of us can see it, but everybody here believes it. Everybody here believes there are things you can't see. There's germs, there's viruses, there's radio signals, there's cell phone towers shooting a signal. I got a friend who he works up north and his businesses are up there. I don't know how many satellite phones he's got. It's amazing when my cell phone doesn't work, he just flips out a satellite phone. And on one of the most remote lakes going, he just picks up a signal and chats with somebody. There are unseen things everywhere on this planet. Well, believer, let me tell you something. The Bible teaches us, while we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. The faith life is not one of denying sickness. It's not one of denying poverty. It's not one of denying depression. It's not living this kind of weird life of just deny it, deny it, deny it, and try to live in your own little Pollyanna life. No, what the Bible is teaching us is that we are not moved by what we see, which means the five senses. We are moved by what we believe, because we know there is an unseen world, and that there are promises from the Word of God that we live by. And there is a way to believe and to see the power and the substance of the spirit realm flow into our lives in the natural realm. We've got to understand this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer." Let's stop right there. See, you are not just a human being. You are not just flesh and blood. You are a spirit being, and you access a spirit world which you cannot see. And people laugh at us Christians saying, "Well, you can't even see, you can't taste." And I'm going, you believe in radio waves, which you cannot see. You believe in germs. You believe in subatomic particles. Many of the things that we believe in can't be seen ever. But we have learned to practice the laws that harness them. And the same is true for the unseen world of the spirit, where there are realities of what Jesus has done. And you need to be a person of faith. You need to learn the Word of God. It has principles. There are laws of faith. There are laws that govern how we as a Christian access the resources of the spirit world where Jesus is. And I'm not talking about believing things that are not true. Did you know that New Covenant faith is not believing for something that isn't? That New Covenant faith is believing for something that is. And until you recognize that, faith will be a struggle for you as you try to believe and you don't believe it's true. We teach people confession. We teach people to connect with God's Word. And they'll say things like, "Well, I'm lying." And I go, what are you lying about? "Well, I am sick. And I am saying that healing is mine." And that's a lie. And I said, "Well, just a minute. Your body is only one third of you. Body, soul, and spirit. So one third of you, your body is sick. One third of you, your spirit, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, has been given all things that pertain to life on this planet. It has been given healing. It has been given protection. It has been given joy. It has been given peace. It has been given everything you will ever need in your life, and it resides here in your spirit. And your mind is the deciding factor. So when you say health is mine, healing is mine. You are disagreeing with the physical man's right to dominate all three parts of you. And you are declaring that there is a part of me called my spirit. And my spirit is filled with the healing life, the power of God. Therefore, I side with it. And I declare that I am healed. I am whole. I am healthy. I am strong. My youth is renewed like the eagles. No weapon formed against me prospers. That whatever I put my hand to does prosper. How can I say these things if none of them are working in my physical life? Because I am not just a physical human flesh blood body. I am made in the likeness and the image of God. And my spirit man is alive. There's a verse in the Bible, very precious. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. This new you is in your spirit. This new you is of the three, body, soul, spirit. This new you is your spirit man. And in your spirit is healing. In your spirit is death resurrecting power. If the same power that raised Jesus' dead body from the dead dwells in you, it says, then, and so you and I have to understand, in our spirit man is all the health, all the healing, all the protection, all the blessing, all the joy, all the peace, everything you're ever gonna need. So when I get up as a human being and I declare that sickness is not gonna touch this body, and if I'm sick, I declare go in the name of Jesus, because healing is mine. It's not trying to convince God. Faith is not trying to get God to do something. God has done all he is going to do for you. He has had Jesus die and take your curse. He had Jesus die and qualify you for every promise. He had Jesus rise again, and the very Zoe life of God is inside of you. He gave you a gift of righteousness so you'd always be qualified for every promise, no matter how messed up you are this week when you need a miracle. And so faith must believe that I'm not just a human being, I'm not just a human doing, but if I'm in the family of God, then there is a royalty, a spirit to me that is not just human. And here is where you need to begin to go into the Word of God. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were telling me what they're believing God for. I said, cool, what verse are you standing on? They said, what do you mean? Well, I'm just declaring that. I said, well, that's cool. That's pretty good. But what verse are you standing on? What verses are you standing on for this supernatural assistance that you need in your life? They said, well, I don't have a verse. I mean, I know it's his will through the preaching and teaching, but I don't have a verse. And so I begin to show them in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, that there are different pieces of armor, but the sword is of the Spirit. It's the Word of God praying. So when we begin to talk about this power, this ability, we've got to recognize that we must speak the Word of God. The Word of God is hard to explain to some people who don't want to know. But the Word of God, listen close to this, it's a mirror. Now, before I came up here today, I tried to see my face. But I have never seen my face, and neither have you. I've never seen the top of my head, the back of my hair, and neither have you. You've seen a mirror's reflection of your face. You've seen a mirror's reflection of the top of your head. You've seen a mirror's reflection of the back of your hair. You know, when I try on clothes and I go to buy something, it's amazing how the mirrors and how they put them are important. If the bottom of the mirror is tilted out a little bit, you look more squat, short, overweight. Have the top of the mirror come back a little bit, and you look longer legged, it elongates your body, you look better. You've never seen your face. The best you can do is look down your nose and see the shadow of the tip of your nose. The only way you can see your face is looking in a mirror, and then you have to trust that that mirror is an accurate look of you. Well, there is a mirror of you as a spirit being, and you can't see it in a mirror. You can't know it through the five senses. This mirror, according to the book of James, is the Word of God. And if you do not continually look into the Word of God as to who you are, something is going to happen where you are going to go back to being who you are just as a human. But as you look into the Word of God, you begin to see the side of you, this spirit and the promises and who you are and how it works. And as you stare into the perfect mirror of God's Word, you become aware. Now, you become so aware that as you begin to hear the Word of God, it says that faith rises. Now, faith is this ability to know and to sense what's going on in the spirit realm. It knows and it senses what God is up to. It knows and it senses what the devil is up to. It knows and it senses what is yours, what is in your spirit. And the only way you can develop this ability to sense and know is to look at the mirror of who you are. When you look into the mirror and you see that skin disease, you need to look into the, and that's the mirror for your flesh. When you look into the Word, you see the mirror of who you actually are, because you are a spirit. This body that we live in, this earth suit that we walk in, is not who we are. The people that we have lost, who have died, and their body is buried, or we cremated them, or we go to a certain place in the graveyard where we have put this precious body that we hugged and got to know and looked at and laughed and lived years with, that is not the real person. The real you can only be seen in the mirror of the Word of God. And if you do not spend time every day in the Word of God, you are going to forget who you are. When you forget who you are, you automatically go back to the five senses, and that you are limited to it. The Bible is so clear that now it says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. That word flesh is literally just means the meat of your body, which listens to the five senses. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. You go, what? Even when we read about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they only show the historical Jesus walking around in a body. But it is the epistles where Paul, by revelation of Jesus talking to him, goes into the Old Testament and grabs all of these promises and the Word of God, and he shows you who Jesus was from the cross to the throne. He shows you who you are as a brand new creation. But I'm so sick and tired of trying to help Christians who won't spend an ounce of time in the Word to discover the real them. You're still walking out the you that you grew up with. The bad habits, the weaknesses, the fears, the concerns. That is the old dead you. But you can keep him alive, or you can keep his habits alive, if you want to continue to live in an emotional quagmire, if you want to continue to live in an emotional craziness. But when you begin to learn to live by faith, you begin to speak in a way that people don't understand. Jesus walked into the room of a dead girl, and they said, she is dead. He said, she sleeps. And that bugged them, because everybody wants you to speak the truth. When I walk the hallways of our church, people say, hey, how you doing? I'll say, I'm doing great. It's a great day. Now, if they know of something that's going on in my world, they'll say, you don't have to lie to me, Pastor. Like, we can be real. Oh, I love being real. And if I need help or counseling or someone to encourage me, I got a circle of people that I do that with. But I'm not referring to 1/3 of my world, or Leon, which is my physical body. I'm not giving it ascendancy. I'm not giving it the predominance of my life. And so I know that my spirit man is alive with God. It is filled with joy, and that this Holy Spirit has been sealed inside of me. So if my body's having an issue, I just make sure I focus on the promises of the Word, which reminds me healing is in my spirit. And it is whatever my mind sides with that allows the bridge to be from the spirit realm into the physical realm. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, 6, 7, it says to be carnally minded, or to have your mind always set on the limitations of your physical body. It says that that is death. Listen to me, Christians. Let's stop being humanistic. Let's stop thinking, well, we're just people. There's a reason for this. There's a reason for that. No, we live in a world where the enemy continually is trying to limit your marriage. He's trying to limit your emotions. He's trying to kill your body, trying to kill your marriage, trying to destroy. Now, should we be afraid? No way. Not if we have learned as a believer to not have our mind set on the physical side of our world, because on the spiritual side of our world, which is we are a spirit living in a physical body, it says to be spiritually minded is life. How do you be spiritually minded? Now, listen to me, Springs, because when I travel, I meet some really weird people. And they think that to be spiritually minded is a body posture, just, or it's a way to talk. Or as if you can be as weird as a $3 bill, then you are really in the spirit. No, being in the spirit doesn't mean you act weird. Being in the spirit means you are being in the Word. You are being in the promises of God. And they are so real to you that rising up within you is faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as I go to the Word and I begin to fellowship with Jesus, and the Word of God reminds me I'm an overcomer, I'm born of God, healing is within me, what happens is if I can keep my mind doing this every day, my mind begins to side with my spirit and the Word of God. This creates a bridge from the spirit world to the physical world, and healing just flows easily all the time. There is a blessing, a prosperity that flows all the time. And when things get rough, there are some Christians who think you got to scream at the devil. No. You don't, because the devil doesn't have the power to stop the blessing of God in your life. So what he does is he goes after your thinking and your believing and your talking. Then he's turning your power against you. He doesn't have the power to come in and end anything in your life, except he first accesses your thought life. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, if you want to know where the warfare is, it is in the thoughts, the reasonings, the strongholds of your mind. And he wants to keep your mind just always focused on the physical and the five senses. And when he can keep you there, he will whip you every time. Satan is the god of this world. Now, as a believer, I am not of this world in my citizenship. I am of the kingdom of heaven, but I am walking around this world with real sickness, real disease, real accidents, real people that attack you. And so I've got to make sure that I am walking it as a born-again believer of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1-4 that you now... It says, I've been given precious promises, and through these promises, you can be a partaker of the divine nature. Let me put it to you in street English today. He is saying that we are living in a real world, and that all these promises and how what heaven is like, that's a perfect world. So we're not living in a perfect world. So what do? We make sure that our mind is going into the Word of God. We make sure that we understand that there's authority that has been given to us, and that it's up to us to loose and stop what's going on in our world. So when things go bad in my life, there's times if I just sense a demonic attack, I just say, stop and leave. That is so rare. Normally, all I do is I just thank him for the promises. I stay meditating in the promises. I let my heart connect to the promises. I let Holy Spirit give me beautiful imaginations and visions and dreams of what my life looks like healed, what it looks like prosperous, what it looks like succeeding, what it looks like with rich relationships, what it looks like with everything everything going well. And so as I do that, I am being spiritually minded. I am going to the Word to determine who I am and how I live. This is so crucial. Some of you right now, there is such death going on in your world. You're screaming at the demons, trying to bind them. You're begging God, saying, please, God, would you do something? And the Bible says He's already done it. He's already moved. 2,000 years ago, all the healing that you will need was given to you. 2,000 years ago, all the sins you ever committed were looked after. 2,000 years ago, to walk in protection, to walk in blessing was done for you. And it was given to you, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1. You have been given all things. The word all means all. How much? All. All things that pertain to life. Someone said, well, Leon, you say I've got it, but I certainly am not experiencing it. That's because you're getting lazy and you want someone to touch you. You want someone to pray for you rather than dive into the word and learn this beautiful, powerful, easy, unique way of believing God and what He has done. You see, when we use our faith, we're not using our faith, get it higher, 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 get it higher. God's watching. He's going to give it to you. He's going to give it. Oh, thank you, God. No, He's already given it to you. You're just going to learn this beautiful, easy way to understand His grace and to believe it. And as you stay in the Word, as you begin to recognize that you are now becoming more and more spiritually minded because the Word is showing you who you are. Your eyes and your five senses are trying to tell you who you are. You're short, you're sick, you're depressed, you don't have many friends, you don't have much money. So whatever's going on in the physical world, your five senses are trying to make you own it, make you say, this is you. I refuse. And I learned a long time ago, yes, I got problems and issues I'm believing God for, but Leon, you are a spirit that is sealed. The presence of God is sealed on the inside of you. Nothing can hurt me or touch me there. And I'm simply going to recognize that to believe in who Jesus is and what He has done and then who I am is to see that faith moves this incredible power and promises of God from my spirit where Jesus is into my world. And so you're never going to be able to say, well, I know the Bible now. I don't need to read it anymore. There's people who quit going to church, don't encourage their kids to get that those who are rooted in the house of the Lord, that's where you flourish. The word flourish means to go on really living in famine, in winter, to just flourish. If you want to be flourishing, get planted in the house of the Lord, a real life-giving church. You get a hold of the Bible. Dive in there. I pray that the Bible to you becomes so exciting as you look at it and recognize, this is my mirror. This is who I am. I'll never be able to see it with my eyes, but I'm not moved by what I see. The Bible said, well, we don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. Then it goes on to say in chapter 5 and verse 7, it says there that we are not moved by sight, we are moved by faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, getting wiser and wiser. No, it is our faith. It is this believing in this part of us that is spirit, that is filled with the presence of God. All the promises are already mine, and anything I'm ever going to need, God's not making a decision on. He already made the decision, and He gave it to me. Now let's learn to move it from this recreated spirit into our physical body, into our mind and our emotions. And you are about to start a journey that is so exciting, so phenomenal, so amazing. It's not lying till you get God to move. Confess the word until it's not true, but we're going to no, that's a joke. We are confessing what has been paid for, what has been done, what has been given to us. And we're going to declare that because the Bible teaches us that whatever is we see in the physical world is made out of spirit. The things that we see are made from things that are not seen. It doesn't mean it's made out of nothing. No, the unseen world. You better start believing in the unseen world. You better start believing in the unseen forces. Some of you have given the devil opportunity in your life, and he's in there having a heyday because literally all you got to do is just be always focused on your five senses and your physical life and your physical world. You'll answer wrong to every issue. You'll deal with relationships wrong. Your mind will be a mess. Your physical body will be a mess. You won't be able to get up and live the way God's designed you to live till you stop seeing yourself as only a human body. And you start seeing yourself as a child of the King with a spirit man that is alive with all of the power of God. Father, today I pray that you touch each person here in the parking lot in their vehicles, that you touch every person watching around the world, that, Father, we would recognize we're a three-part being, but it's our spirit man that we focus on through studying the Word. Faith rises, and all three parts of us submit to the Word of God. If you're watching today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to lead you in a quick prayer. All you need to say is, God, thank you for sending Jesus. He died for me, and He won me a new life. I accept that in Jesus' name. Jesus, come into my heart and my life. I'm following you. Teach me in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, please get a hold of us. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, there's a way to just put it in the comments. Would someone get a hold of me? I prayed the prayer today. Or let us know by going to our website, info@springschurch.com, and just tell us, I prayed the prayer, and we want to contact you and help you with the most amazing life that is ahead of you.